It is a good day today. Amen. It is the best of days today. It's the day the grave knew defeat. Amen. I find that amazing. I find it amazing that not even death could conquer life. When he said, "I am the life," he gave death its best shot. Still couldn't stop them. If the grave can't hold them back, we ought to be encouraged that nothing can hold the church back. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at Luke 24, verse 46 through 48. And said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." We're going to talk today about the witnesses of the resurrection. So our icebreaker is, have you ever met a celebrity and didn't know it? Well, if you didn't know it, you did? Who'd you meet? Paul the Apostle. Amen. Walking around in Hollywood, you'll actually come across quite a few famous people. Famous does not mean good people, just well known. I'm not trying to disrespect them. They're called actors for a reason. They know how to put on the facade. Some of them are very much different in real life, and I'm not one to get starstruck. I've come across rock stars, sports stars, and movie stars down there in California. I'm not impressed. But it's possible for us to run into famous people and not know it. To run into powerful people and not know it, especially in Alaska. I mean, Alaska, you can't judge how much money that person might have by the way they're dressing. This is Alaska. That multimillionaire's wearing Carhartts as well, parking in his dirty truck. Because it's spring. Spring has a whole different meaning up here. But the first ones to witness the resurrection was whom? The women. The women. How come? Went to check on them. Why is it that the women went to check and the men didn't? You had two men prepare, Nicodemus and Joseph. Those two men prepared. I believe that when you read the Gospels, you'll see something with women that you don't see with the men. That they were sensitive to everything that was about ready to transpire. Why? Because it was their promise. It's the woman's seed. Not yours, Adam. Hers. And so the angel presented himself to Mary, and he spoke in length about what was going to happen. He didn't do that with Joseph. He said, "This is of God, don't put her away." But he went in detail with Mary. It was Elizabeth who recognized immediately what was being carried in the womb. At just the sound of the greeting of her voice, she began to prophesy. And Elizabeth says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord would come visit me?" Wow. And then say, "Blessed is she that believed the word of the Lord." How did you know that? You didn't have no telephone. You don't write that conversation in a letter. Oh, by the way, P.S., an angel came and visited me. That's kind of a face-to-face thing. And yet, the women constantly were there. Anna, the prophetess, began to speak of the child she just saw to anyone who was looking for the redemption of Israel. Now, of course, the priest prophesied he's going to be the fall and the rise of many. But she knew and said, "Hey, there's the redemption. There's the redemption. There's the redemption." Man, sensitivity. Because God created women to birth. And I believe that birthers, and I'm not using that political word, but because you're blessed with birthing, there is a sensitivity to what is going to be birthed. And she's sitting there, here's redemption. The next woman, Mary, weeping at his feet, breaking an alabaster box, preparing him for his burial, Jesus says. None of the men even take heed. I don't even read like, wait a minute. What do you mean burial? You're just going to let that go over? That's kind of a big statement. What are you talking about? Now you have the women. We know that only John followed to the cross. Peter did not. The other disciples did not, but the women did. But only the women went beyond the cross and to the burial. I don't read anywhere that John was there. And now all of a sudden, the women are watching and they come back. They see that the stone is rolled away. They go tell, "Hey, somebody took him." Peter and John, they run to the tomb. Now John, he loves to say he got there first. Peter went in, which has always posed the question to me, what matters? The person who arrived there first or the person that went deeper? But when Peter went into the tomb, he saw the napkin folded up, as tradition dictates. That means I'm coming back. I'm not done. Crumpled meant I'm finished. But folded up, I'm coming back to this. But when Mary looked in after the men left, she saw the angels. Two angels sitting where the body was. Two angels, I imagine, sitting in a position not unlike what the two cherubim were kneeling on on top of that mercy seat of the ark. Because here's the offering. And she's getting to see this. What an amazing thing. Because now we're recording angels. And if you'll remember, the angels aren't listed a lot in the Gospels. They announce you're going to get pregnant with John. They announce you're going to get pregnant with Jesus. They announce to the shepherds he has come. They arrive to minister to Jesus after the 40. And the last time you'll read about it before this event is in the garden. When Jesus told them, your spirit is strong, but your flesh is weak. You need to pray. And he went to pray, and it says an angel came to him and strengthened him. That is the last recording of an angel in the gospel right at the crucifixion. Why? Because when that prayer was done, this dimension is now being withheld. He looks at Peter. He looks at his disciples and said, don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels to fight this? But this isn't the angels. This is God. This is God's doing. That's what's so amazing about this day. Is on the day of resurrection, what was being withheld is now released. The angels are not just presenting themselves to Jesus, they're now presenting themselves for the help of mankind. That, hey, he is risen. Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Now, I want to turn your attention to what's been spoken here. 172,000 angels prophesied to be released in Sterling alone. Why? Because God is here to tell us that resurrection is about ready to take place. He sends the angels. He sends the angels before he presents himself. The woman saw the angels before she saw the Lord. And make no mistake about it. Angels are constantly in this house. Constantly in this house. I know that everybody gets weird when you start talking about angels. But we shouldn't. It's just the helpers. It's the servants. It's the warriors of the kingdom of heaven. The fact that they're here announces what we're sitting in. But when they went from the cross to the tomb, they had to see something different. Because I can't imagine watching who you know is God robed in flesh die. Now, God tried to tell them, I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to raise up. Now, I think it's easy to point my finger and be like, you should have known better. But to my own shame, it's amazing how many times I've come back in my own promise book only to get revelation where I'm sitting by what he previously spoke to me and be like, oh, that's what he meant. Okay, fulfilled. Thought I knew, but didn't. And yet the witnesses, here are the women witnessing God coming up. Everything about Jesus' life was about his march to the cross. Everything about that tomb rolling away is about our march back to him. Because we were dead in our trespasses. This was the first door God had to open for us. The next is the gate to heaven. He had to open the gate to the grave. He had to open the gate to hell. And now he's going to open the gate to heaven when he finally returns. And we're all going to go. Yes. Well, hopefully, we're all going to go. Call me an optimist. I know that the scripture says 50-50. But, you know, let that 50 apply somewhere else. I wonder what it must have been like. I mean, I've lost people. I know others here have lost people. But no matter who I've lost, I haven't lost that. I've lost people that I dearly care about. But I've never sat there and watched the loss of my God. All hope going with him. We talk about Joseph, how he woke up in a prison and he went to sleep in a palace. But what about this moment where you woke up hopeless, but that ain't how that day ended? That's not what this is supposed to be. Anything that the grave is trying to swallow up, you need to remind it. You have been kicked open. You have been kicked open. You're not allowed to keep anything. I'm allowed to tell you Jesus has conquered you. So Jesus, he does something that I don't quite understand. He presents himself, and Mary does not recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. Okay. Second Adam tending the garden, bringing out the first fruit. Sure enough. But now she doesn't recognize him by sight until he speaks her name. Because my sheep know my voice and I call them by name. And the moment she heard the true shepherd speak her name, she now knew who was speaking to her. See, if you're waiting for your faith to be elevated by what you see, you could be looking right at it and not know it. If you want your faith to grow, you ask for God to speak. And if you can't hear, you ask for ears to hear. And we've been going over this. The word here, Shema, it means to listen, to pay attention, and to obey. If those three things are not taking place, you are not hearing. That is the biblical definition of hearing. So I tell my kids, when you're listening to the word, pay attention. Or it's just background noise. You have listened, but you have not heard. And when that voice went out, all of a sudden, bam, she knew. And so God told her, Don't cling to me. Don't touch me. I haven't gone up. Go tell the disciples. Go tell the disciples. And she does. Now, I want to ask you, because Jesus never presented himself until after she had obeyed. How much has the church withheld from seeing because we failed to witness what God said to go share? We keep waiting for promises to present themselves, and God says, I don't present myself until you speak what I told you to speak. The God in us needs to be allowed our tongue. Speak it in faith. The reason I won't speak it, I'm afraid. I'm afraid it's not real. I don't have enough faith, so I'm trying to keep it and bury it and hold it. Our promises, I don't share them. Maybe that's why I don't see them. Because I have to walk in by faith. And it takes faith to share what God has spoken. Because she wasn't well received. I mean, they didn't stone her, but they didn't believe her either. They didn't. Well, she was a woman. Not everybody's going to know what you've just seen. Share it. Share it. Because they're about ready to see it too. That way, when it happens, you'd be like, you see now? You see? He's alive. Our God is alive. But, the resurrection started with an earthquake. It says there was an earthquake because the angel came down and he rolled away the stone. Now, they put the body of Jesus into a grave that was not his. That cross, he took the condemnation that was mine, and he took the grave that was supposed to be mine. Because he had to meet me where I was going. I now know that when I look at death, death is not my end, death is my beginning. This is the time that we get to exercise faith. Faith is not for heaven. You see, you are in the presence. We get to have faith now. But here's the thing with Thomas. Thomas said, I can't believe it until I touch it. And I wonder if some of us struggle, myself, if I will struggle on certain things that I have not extended my hand to touch. And that's why I don't believe it yet. How much time in prayer do I need to extend myself until I can touch it and know it's alive? A woman doesn't need to see her baby to know that thing's alive. She feels it. She knows it's moving. Your promises that are being grown, feel after them. Because he's alive. He's alive. One of the promises I was told that I finally understood studying this out is when I transferred here, I was like, all right, Lord, I don't understand. I'm following your lead. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm trying to be obedient. Why am I here? What am I to do? It's the first thing Pastor Glover came up. He said, you're here to heal. If you don't heal, God can't use you. After that, when he prayed over me, the Lord said, I sent you here to put you in the tomb. I'm like, well, that does not sound good. But I realized last night praying, the tomb isn't where the dead go. The tomb is the place where you witness the resurrection birth. This is where resurrection starts. He placed me here to see what is going to start to live again. Because we were told that of this great revival, this great tree of harvest, this place is the roots. The seed always sprouts roots first. It's where everything starts. And so when the resurrection starts and the power of resurrection starts to come out, I know that God has moved me where it's going to come forth from. I feel privileged. I really do. I'm like, we're about ready to see something special. And if we really believe that, then we need to take our dead up in prayer and lay them up here. All our backslidden, we lay their names up here. Because when resurrection comes in, life comes in. And what was once dead will now be alive. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe we're going to witness it. When we talk about the resurrection, Jesus used a parable, the rich man and Lazarus. It's amazing he spoke it to the Pharisees. And then later, he resurrected a Lazarus. Did he just choose that name by random? Or was he proving his point that even if one was raised from the dead, you're not going to hear? Because when he was raised from the dead, they didn't say, tell us more. They said, we got to kill this Lazarus. Yeah. I mean, that was their response. Let's kill that man. When Jesus was resurrected, they already tried to kill him. So they sent out a Saul to kill everybody else. Don't speak that name. Don't speak that name. Because a world of death doesn't like hearing that life is possible. But you know what? That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We have to bear witness. But that angel came to roll away the stone. Because where God was placed had to get out of his way for that power to come forth. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't become a tomb. Don't become closed up. Become open. Openness is what is going to allow God to come forth. Open with your testimonies. Open with each other. Open with our struggles. Our struggles, some struggles are just too much for us. But we have a God that lives. If these things are causing death, then come to a brother or sister and be like, I need prayer. This thing's killing me. This thing's killing faith. This thing's killing peace. We have a God of resurrection power. Not only can He resurrect what you feel like is being lost, He's going to take you to places that you've never even fathomed. It's life and life more abundantly. Because I really believe that if I can get my flesh out of the way, He's going to show me where I can walk. I knew that I had to meet Him at the cross. I know that I have to realize the grave is empty. But heaven is not. I believe resurrection power unlocks things. The Lord, did He not manifest before the brethren? I mean, He just popped up in a house that was locked. I know this is a year of keys, but it'd be cool to just pop inside of a locked door. Because you got the master key. Bam! Jesus did that. The resurrection power was always in Him because He could speak to death. They knew He could. They didn't know that death just couldn't keep Him. And now He's in you. Now He's in you. Why do you think things can just put their clutches on you and keep you? It's not true. It's not true. The only way we can do it is to believe it. It's the only authority that it has, because the moment I believe I can't get out of it, I lose hope and I stop praying against it. I stop praying for my way out. I just accept this is how it has to be. God didn't die on the cross so that we could sit in the grave. He died on the cross so that we could come out of it. And tell everybody. Tell everybody, I have a God that can bring life where there is no life. Now, church, I am an avid believer. You can come up here and preach the right words, but you don't present anything that you're not walking in. I could talk about prayer all day. There's no power behind it if I'm not praying. I could talk about peace. I could talk about love. It is biblically right. But I have no fruit to present to you if I don't have it. You want to talk about resurrection power? Let me tell you how you get resurrection power. Die. Die. Paul says, I die daily. Why? Because death releases resurrection. If you haven't died, that's not resurrection, that's healing. Some of these people are beyond needing healing. They need resurrection. And what they need is somebody to bear witness. I know this is possible. Because you can describe death to people where joy has no flavor anymore, has no place. There's no praise. Go read about the grave and the absence of things in the grave and ask them, are you sitting there? And then when they recognize where they're sitting, ask them, would you like to come out? Because I have a relationship with the One. Now, church, what I'm about to say, I don't want anybody to misconstrue. Okay? I believe why we invite people to church may not always be right. If I see somebody hurting out there And I got to tell you, you know what? Come Sunday, God can do something for you. You know why I'm telling you to come here? Because I didn't let him walk with me out there. This is where I left him. This is where I know to find him. But the moment I realize he's in me, he is living in me. And I am connecting with him every day. Lord. Because we say God is good. That's why I pray. Because the day isn't always good. He's always good. I would like to fellowship with something good. And it's nice. It's nice for a God that never changes from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He wanted to talk with me yesterday. So he wants to talk with me today. And he'll want to talk with me tomorrow. While I may change, while I may have a hard day, while I may have messed up, nothing changed with him. Nothing changed. That's why he witnessed to Peter. Peter, I called you to be a fisher of men. Why are you back fishing for fish? Why? Because our old ways sometimes bring comfort when we are down and lost hope. When we feel that we have suffered a loss or death, sometimes it's easier to go back to the ways of it. But he's like, that's not what I called you to. I called you to fish, and the only bait that you can use is life. You can't use tricky words. You can't use a beautiful vocabulary. You can't study this and trick people. It may fill up a stadium, but I'm not impressed by numbers. The cemetery is full too. I look for life. And that's what we're talking about today. Where have you seen life? Have you seen the life? Have you seen resurrection ever take place? Have you recognized in yourself that God has resurrected you from your own grave? I was sitting there with a Bible study where it says, the Lord redeemed you out of Egypt, the house of bondage. Do you realize that all of Egypt is a house of bondage? But some people have fallen in love with their golden chains. And some Christians don't recognize the world as bondage because we envy the chains they're in. Boy, they became really successful. They're really famous. Boy, their business is just taking off. They got all the nicest stuff. Okay. You can't offer me Trump level money to give this up. And I'm not sitting there boasting of me. That's not, oh, well, I wouldn't do it. I know I'm dumb enough to do it. That's why I got to pray. So that I never lose sight of how precious this is. That all of this cannot buy this. Only the cross did. But church, those soldiers, they had to leave. We cannot be the guardians to tell God to stay in his place. And nobody else is allowed to go see them. Catholics do that. Only the priest can talk to God. Well, that's kind of sad. I love talking to him. And fine, only the priests. We're a royal priesthood. I'll go talk to them then. Amen? But church, no matter what, I don't care what's going on today. I don't care what's been going on this week. I don't care what's been going on this year. I am not dismissing anybody's problem. I am not even standing up here saying, I don't care, as if I have no compassion for your pain. But I am telling you, what came out of that grave is greater than what is presented to you. That no matter what, it is not bigger than Him. I have never known anybody else to come out of the grave. Houdini famously said, if I can escape death, I will do it. Well, there's only been one that I've known, that under his own might and under his own power, he broke the chains and came on out. Amen? So today, even if you don't feel it, even if it's been rough, we got to know that hope has been resurrected. Our peace is resurrected. He lives and is alive forevermore. So let the praises of our God be alive in us today. Happy Resurrection Day. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.